Hi, podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva again, the editor-in-chief from Medical Education, coming to you today from the middle of June in a gray Vancouver morning. The terms here in North America have largely wound down and people are in catch-up mode for the most part. And so I'm grateful to get the chance to speak with Mark Gierl, who is the professor of educational psychology and Canada research chair in education measurement at the University of Alberta. Mark, thanks for being on the podcast.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Mark is just an hour east of me, so it's nice to be able to do this at a reasonable time of day. But you have a paper coming out in the August issue of Medical Education entitled Using Automatic Item Generation to Create Multiple Choice Test Items. This is work that I've been very excited about. I've had a chance to talk with you about it in a few different contexts. And just to set the stage a little bit for some of our listeners, I would just say that this is an obvious issue given the omnipresence of multiple choice testing and the difficulty and cost inherent in doing that well. I suspect most people don't even know that if you look at the professional testing organizations, a single item can cost hundreds of dollars. And so this is crucial work. What led you to be confident that you'd have a way of automating some of these things, given all the undoubted skeptics that are out there about the importance of having real human generator?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the context first. And the context is that I'm a little bit biased in this, but I don't think that there's any area in education right now that's as exciting as the area of educational assessment. The infusion of technology and testing has really taken off. And as a result, there's a huge shift that's occurring now between paper-based and computer-based tests. There are many advantages to having computer-based tests. You can automatically score them, which is a very tedious task. You can provide examinees with much quicker feedback in their performance. You can test more frequently and in some cases with greater precision. So there really is an important move towards computers and testing. But the other aspect of it that's changed, and this is an aspect more from test users' point of view and certainly from testing operations' point of view, is that the shift towards computer-based testing has also created the perception and possibly the need for more frequent assessment. People want to be able to write their tests any place, any time, and under any circumstances once they feel that they're ready. And for the most part, testing companies have responded positively to that. But one of the consequences of that is that we need more test items, and not on the scale of two times more, or even five times more, but we need 10 to even 50 times more test items than we currently have in most testing systems. And as you alluded to before, test items are very expensive to develop. In a high-stakes testing program, for example, licensure certification contexts, the estimate is anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000 per item. And so now we have to scale up that resource, and it's simply the case that using a traditional process is extremely expensive, extremely slow, and quite frankly, it's not scalable to meet the demands that are just basically on the horizon for the whole testing industry and testing enterprise. So that was kind of our motivation, how to scale up item development.
Mm-hmm. And again, you don't have to talk about automating these sorts of things very long before people do start to get twitchy about how could you possibly do that, given that these are complex topics, especially in medicine. So I want to get you to spend some time explaining to the listeners how you went about that, but maybe I could ask you to just start by filling out a bit more of that background.
Well, I think that for us, there were two factors that came together. My previous research is working in a cognition and assessment context. So trying to think about how people think about and solve problems in different content areas and domains. So we kind of have a cognitive architecture for thinking about test development and test analysis. The other side of this that's important is technology and testing, the idea of having a computer-based approach, but also drawing on algorithms and systems to begin to combine information, administer information, score information, and report back to examinees. So when you take a cognition point of view and a technology point of view and you put it under the umbrella of a testing enterprise, you basically have all the raw materials you need to be able to do this. We use a three-step approach in which we begin by creating a cognitive model, which is a structure for articulating how content specialists solve problems in a domain. We take the content from that cognitive architecture and we put it in an item model structure. And an item model is like a template for a test item. It basically structures the item, but it also specifies the variables in the item where we can place content from the cognitive architecture. And then the third step is that we've got a technology system that basically combines all of that information and every combinatoric outcome that's possible, subject to constraints. And the constraints are what allow us to create feasible from unfeasible items. So basically, we have a outline of how people think about and solve problems in a domain. We cast that into an item model structure, which is like a test item, and then we have a computer program that does all of the assembly. And in that way, we can fairly straightforwardly create in the magnitude of 15 to 20,000 items in about 6 or 7 hours.
So, given if I've understood properly the first piece of it, the cognitive architecture is largely a concept mapping exercise where you use an expert or a few experts to outline the way they think about the particular problems?
Yes, that's exactly right. In the area of education, we call it a cognitive model, but concept map, construct map, any sort of mapping feature, that's definitely the gist of it.
And so when you take that piece into account and the fact that you would need many of these cognitive models and item models in order to make sure that you had some breadth of focus to the
Right.
assessments, again, compared to the $1,500 to $2,000 cost per item that you quoted, how does your system compare?
Well, I want to make two comments on that. Our system is much more about depth than breadth. So an item model really represents a fairly deep understanding of a particular concept. And so if you want to have a lot of breadth on your test, you're going to have a number of different item models that are basically operationalized. But the other thing that we learned from our research is that when content specialists sit around and develop a single test item, they really do draw on that cognitive model in step one. The only difference is that they really sample a very small amount of that cognitive model, produce an item, and then they move on to another content area. And all we are doing is trying to, number one, articulate all of the information in that model, and then number two, make use of all of that information to produce test items. And that's consistently what content specialists say, is that the process is no different, it's just that we're getting a lot more information out of their thinking and problem-solving processes than one or two items. We're getting thousands of items, but the process itself, the use of the cognitive model, that need to articulate all of the different problem-solving steps has always been in place in the test development process. We're just making better use of it.
And is this the sort of activity that you could imagine an individual school taking on? What sort of training would be required for somebody who wanted to use this approach to actually implement it?
Well, that's a good question, and the way I would characterize it now, which may change over time, is that it's kind of like a manufacturing process where we work with content specialists, we articulate the construct maps or the cognitive models, then we place that content into an item model structure. So that's really dealing with content specialists in both steps, a lot of interviews, a lot of discussions. And then from the second to third step, we'd have to program Igor, the computer program that we use. His name is Item Generator, but we call him Igor for short. He's written in Java, and basically we take all of the information from the content specialists, recast it using Boolean logic and Java code, and then we write that code in Igor. And then when we hit generate, Igor basically does all of the combinatorics subject to the constraints and outcome test items. So in a funny kind of way, it's kind of like a computing science problem where you start with a very abstract input, which is the content from content specialists, and you end with very concrete output, which is test items. And that's why we describe it as a manufacturing process. There are several steps between the input and the output. And the way we're doing it now is that we just sort of facilitate and we work with the transformation of information from the beginning to the end. So at least for now, we would be working with groups of test developers who are interested in doing this. But eventually, we hope that this would be a process that all kinds of people could use by taking input and producing output using that three-stage process that I described.
sounds great. In the paper that we're talking about specifically, you reported almost 1,300 items being generated from a single item model. I have to assume that some of those items are better than others, and so I know this is a program of research that you're engaging in, and you definitely don't think that you've gotten to the end state yet. But I'm wondering, as my last query to you, if I could ask you to talk about some of the things that you've either done or are planning to do with respect to ensuring that the items actually live up to some sort of quality standard.
Yeah, well, that is one of the most important evaluations, and it seems to me that the gold standard, at least from a content point of view, is that we need to put these items through a fairly rigorous but also standard item review process, which all test items go through, but using an experimental design where traditional and generated items are basically put on the same form. And we're in the process of collecting that data in the content area of therapeutics or pharmacy, doing work with the Medical Council of Canada. And so we've generated items in therapeutics area. In a parallel process, content specialists have developed the same items according to the same test specifications. And we're now going to do a content review where both traditional and generated items are on the same form. They're randomly positioned, and they'll be rated and evaluated by content specialists who don't actually know that there are two item types. And so this is one of those situations where you actually want null results statistically. We're hoping that we find no difference between the traditional items and the generated items. And if we can get that type of result, it provides fairly compelling evidence that there's no difference in quality between the two item types. The only difference is that there's a lot more items using the generated framework compared to the traditional framework. And those are data that will be collected in July 2012 as part of our research.
Cool. It feels like we're right on the verge of a major breakthrough with this stuff. So I'll end just by congratulating you on the work. As always, there's a lot more information in the paper than we could possibly cover in a brief podcast. So I'll just remind the listeners that Mark Gierl and I have been speaking about a paper he's publishing in the August issue of Medical Education, August 2012, entitled Using Automatic Item Generation to Create Multiple Choice Test Items. Congratulations again, Mark, on the work. I look forward to hearing about the results of your data collection next month.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to talk with you.